It's Jamie and Locker live from Winnipeg, Manitoba, here on the Green Zone. Live yesterday, live for the rest of the week. Game day is going to be live from Winnipeg. I will be here, of course. Darryl Davis and Belton Johnson will be holding down the fort back in the studio for the pregame and the postgame, as we will assess the team going in and assess the damage coming out. And maybe it's going to be one of the greatest parties in Saskatchewan history on Sunday night if the Riders beat the Alouettes in the 112th Grey Cup. But we need to know who's on the field, and that is Britton Gray's job. He's at Rider practice, Princess Auto Stadium. And Britton Gray, bring us up to date. What did you see of importance at practice today?
So Keyshawn Johnson was out here for the early portion, but did leave since then. So now Joe has been out there running with the starters as well out here. So we'll see what they elect to do. It's just day one. We've seen Corey Mace give veterans day one off before, even though it's a great cup. But we'll have to wait and see how he progresses throughout the week. But it looks like Joe Robustelli is not here, so they have to figure out who's up next, and that might be Joe.
That's what I was going to ask. So no found money. And a question, because I'm still trying to figure out this whole ratio thing, if I'm being completely honest with you. If you take out, obviously, a found money and you put in an Ajo, who is Canadian, how does that impact other decisions in the lineup? And where do you think that impacts other decisions in the lineup, Britton?
I would assume that they would take off possibly a Dell Duncan Busby or something if they put a Joe on, and put on another American defensive lineman if you have to take off an American wide receiver. There's a lot of options that Corey Mace and his team can elect to go with. So we'll have to wait and see. This is why they get paid the big bucks, right? They have to make these decisions in the biggest game of them all.
It's going to be interesting on how all the roster juggling goes around the Rough Riders, but I imagine, Britton, it's going to be the same setup for Grey Cup 112 as we saw last week. Like, I doubt they're going to do much juggling with this roster.
Yeah, I don't think so. Seeing Keyshawn Johnson out here, he was doing more in the early session than he was doing last week, so I think he's trending in the right direction. Of course, we'll have to wait and see how that goes. But, yeah, you're not going to want to change too much about what's been going on. This is not the time of the year where you want to start experimenting with the ratio and figuring out how you can get certain guys on. Roll out your best team. I think this team knows what that looks like, and we'll just have to wait and see what minor changes might take place. But day one, they're out there at practice. Still a long way to go before the Grey Cup, even though we know it is just around the corner.
A lot of conversation about the weather, and I mean, even the three of us, when we were out and about this morning getting ready for the day, we were talking about how crazy this weather is. It's above zero. You're walking around. Nobody's wearing a toque. I'm seeing people in shorts. I'm very curious about Corey Mace. Was he cargo shorting it up today or what?
That's a great question. I think he has pants on out there.
Okay.
I'm just trying to take a look around. I was focused on trying to figure out what players were out there. Kind of media day, busy day. Oh, I see him right now. Yeah, he's got the sweatpants on. I hate to break it to you, Locker.
It says high of 6 degrees, might be 12 on Friday. Game day, high of 3, only -4, so it's not going to like drop when the sun goes down all that much.
Not too bad.
That is as good as you can get. Almost for
it's insane.
November for the weather. So
I know you like the snow games, but this has to be an advantage to both teams. Like,
well, it's an advantage for the entertainment. Yeah. I think. I don't know what you think, Britton, but
it's going to be a better game.
Yeah, it's not going to be guys shivering on.
They're
the
not
sideline.
Throwing a rock no. around or kicking a rock.
No, it's going to be. I think it's going to be a high-quality match. Prep week's not going to be impacted at all. As we're talking to Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray, the Riders practicing Princess Auto Stadium. How does that Rider logo look where the Bomber logo usually sits at Princess Auto Stadium?
Did they do anything to it?
Looks pretty good out there, the Rider logo right there in the end zone. It just feels like it should be there this year, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
How miserable did the guy putting it on look?
Well, he's, again, well, he's a CFL employee. He's not a Winnipeg guy. He's the CFL employee.
He's a Winnipeg guy. We know he's the Winnipeg guy.
He's got it under control. He's not going to mess with it. Maybe they put a lucky loony under it or something like that. But Media Day went today, Britton, the morning session, the afternoon session. Britton was running around all over the place talking to all these. What did you find out? What's something that sparked your interest or curiosity listening to the players who spoke today at Media Day?
I think it's about just how much these players this week are kind of playing for the province. They know how much it's going to mean to the fans and everyone in the province if they manage to come back with a Grey Cup. A lot of them spoke highly about how much being in Saskatchewan has meant to them, a place that really cares about football and how they want to do it. Yes, for themselves, obviously as players and competitors, to be the best, but to get a chance to bring a Grey Cup to Saskatchewan, it's an opportunity that doesn't come around all that often, as we know. So I think they want to be one of those rare groups to be able to do it. Only one of five to be able to do it if they manage to pull it off.
This is my first year on the Green Zone, and I am shocked at how many people in the short time that I have been in Saskatchewan have already reached out to me, and even on the text line today, like, hey, we're on our way. We'll see you. Where are you guys going to be on Thursday? What do you get? I get this sense that Saskatchewan, and we were jokingly calling it Saskatoba when we were driving here, Britton, on Tuesday morning. But I get a sense that the province of Saskatchewan is invading Manitoba as we speak and slowly making their way to Winnipeg to take over the stadium on Sunday.
I'm very interested what sort of reception the team gets when they walk out of the tunnel, right? If enough Saskatchewan fans have been able to come here, maybe there will be some cheers to drown out the boos of all the bitter Bomber fans who aren't here this week.
It's going to be an interesting dynamic.
Yeah,
absolutely. As the Riders, day one of practice. It's for the most part, though, like, you never know who's healthy, who's not healthy. Does it look like they, outside of Joe Robustelli, that they escaped the West Final without much damage?
It does feel that way. It feels like this team is as healthy as it has been, kind of looking around. Sean Bay Jr. is doing some returning. We'll have to wait and see if Mario Alford, he is out here. He's still participating, but another thing to watch. Outside of that, this team looks fairly healthy right now. This team.
He did. Yeah, I forgot Mario Alford got a little nicked up in that game on that play to the sideline. Forgot about that.
So Sean Bain, it has been
so
handling a little bit of punting. So Roland is out here. You better believe Roland Milligan wasn't going to beat this one.
But he got hit. There was a moment where he took a moment
he left
to get
the game, and we were like, uh-oh. And then
in the West Final,
five plays later, he was back out there and finished the game. So that was an interesting one. I wonder if something happened with his knee brace or something that he's got on. It was a weird one. Now, the question we've all been waiting for, who's kicking?
I believe it'll be Brett Lawther, though I'm not sure. It'll be week one. Unfortunately,
it's going to be Brett Lawther. Come on.
A busy one.
I was just joking.
For the field goal early.
It's going to be Brett Lawther. Are we serious?
Did he have a new holder?
No.
No, okay, it was the same guy. Somebody had sent us a note saying that maybe it's the new holder that was, and I'm like, I don't
know. Oh,
think
like he's more consistent because of the new holder?
Yeah.
Well, since they've changed it to Mirko, I think is. Can,
well,
I don't
how
know
long has Mirko been doing?
A couple, I can't remember. But
like a month?
It's okay. Maybe. Okay. But it's been the back half of the season where he's been making a lot more kicks than he was in the front half of the season. Britton Gray's going to have you covered. We got practice tomorrow. They practice this afternoon, and then they are the team that practices tomorrow morning. We also, Britton, have awards tomorrow. So Jamarcus Hardrick and head coach Corey Mace up for awards.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I like their chances of winning. I think that Corey Mace should be the coach of the year with what he's been able to do, best record in the CFL. And Jamarcus Hardrick, for him to come back from the injury and do what he did this season, yes, they always say the outstanding lineman is a team award. I get that. but he's been so rock solid and really cemented this line as one of the best in the CFL.
So the CFL awards go tomorrow evening around 7 o'clock is when that show begins. You can watch it on CFL Plus. Britton Gray has you covered online, cjme.com, cklm.com, on our social at GreenZoneSK, at Britton Gray, and of course on the air right here with us. Britton, back to work.
Will do.
It's not like he has a lack of work this week, does our Green Zone Rider reporter.
Try to eat
Britton
something,
Gray.
Too, Britton. Yesterday he didn't eat until like 9 o'clock.
Did you see my diet today?
I did, yeah.
I had bacon this morning, and I just smashed Doritos, and that's about it. So that's Gray Cup.
My wife packed me a nice little spread. I'm taking care of. She's like, there's a chance you'll be too busy.
Cooler in the car? Your wife packed you a cooler of food?
Right there.
You couldn't have done that yourself?
No, she went to the store and bought me a bunch of stuff and said, you're going to be... And today we had no time. We didn't stop for lunch.
It's a hectic day. It's a blast.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So I'm like, I sent her a thank you because I had some hummus and chips and a banana.
I guess I should. Yeah. All right. I'm like, why is there a cooler in here? Did he bring road beers? What is he doing?
No,
it's full of hummus.
Pack me food. I've got like everything you can think of in there.
It's got Locker's Grey Cup survival kit.
I'm having a boobly.
It's a bubbly.
Boobly, yeah. Bubbly, whatever these things are. Yeah.
Flavored water's weird. Anyways, coming up, a lot more on the Green Zone. Daryl Davis with a double take on his take on Grey Cup 112 just past 5 o'clock here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Of course, Grey Cup week, things move fast. Dave Naylor was planning to join us, but he was getting phone calls. And TSN is reporting, and well, Dave Naylor, our CFL analyst, is now reporting on the work he's been doing throughout the last couple of days, is that the ball is now in Mike O'Shea's court when it comes to the job with the Toronto Argonauts, that it's very much... they want him there, and they are willing to give him various titles, whatever that looks like. He also has the offer from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers as an extension, so now we wait. But also, Dave Naylor is reporting that the Hamilton Tiger Cats also looked for permission from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Of course, Ted Gavea, the general manager, died of cancer this year. They're looking for a general manager. Scott Milenovich is the head coach there, so they reached out to Mike O'Shea, as well as Danny McManus, the assistant general manager of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, to potentially replace Ted Gavea there. I don't see O'Shea leaving the coaching ranks to be a general manager, but...
But how often does that dual role work?
Very rarely.
Okay.
A lot of guys try, a lot more fail than succeed at it. It's just a lot on their plate.
It's tempting because it kind of supersedes the
Well, it gives you the power to
payroll
put
structure.
The roster, right? And with the salary, the coach's cap, the football operations portion separates a little bit from you what you can do with coaches, although they've kind of combined the two now. Instead of, they used to be $2.6 million for front office, $2.6 million for coaches. Now you can do it either way. But... a lot of interesting stories coming from Dave Naylor, who is planning to join us tomorrow on the Green Zone.
And this is the reason why
This is the story he was breaking this afternoon.
That makes sense.
And the work he's in. He's still working trying to
is
find
Is he going
to
be late for his party tonight?
Who knows? We'll find out, I guess. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. Meanwhile, Riders practicing right now. Keyshawn Johnson was out early, practice. Then he wasn't. Joe Robustelli's not practicing. But you do have a Joe working with some of the first team offense just in case Keyshawn Johnson and Joe Robustelli can't go. that if they could be start four, they wouldn't have to do that weird, stupid rotation on the defensive line that they had to in the West semifinal for ratio reasons. So we'll see. Davis Alexander did practice, then he left practice, got treatment on his hamstring, and then came back out for the rest of Montreal's practice today. And only one Canadian team on the ice tonight. It's the Edmonton Oilers. They're kicking off a lengthy road trip. They are in Philadelphia. Coming up next, 1-877-332-8255. The fan line is open on your thoughts leading into Grey Cup 112. We talked, is Davis Alexander a villain in the Canadian Football League now? I like him.
You've met him.
Doesn't sound
no.
like other people do. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Corey Mace beats out Jason Moss for the Coach of the Year. Jason Moss beat out Corey Mace last year for Coach of the Year. And Jermarcus Hardrick up against Brendan Revenberg of the Hamilton Tiger Cats for the Most Outstanding Offensive Lineman. Of course, the other awards tomorrow, Nathan Rourke against Bo Levi Mitchell. Nathan Rourke.
Both of them not in the Grey Cup.
Both not in the Grey Cup, yeah. Mm-hmm.
When do they vote on the coach?
At the end of the regular season.
Okay, all right.
It should be Corey Mace. But, of course, the American League voters didn't vote for John Schneider, though he went from one of the worst teams in the major leagues to number one in the American League. But, no, let's not make that guy the coach of the year.
If you're looking at records, it should be Corey Mace. But there are also other things about the year that I think would dictate that it would go to Corey Mace. No?
With all the injuries they suffered and everything, yeah, and everybody's, well, what about Jason with Davis Alexander? They sucked without Davis Alexander. They did, honestly, they were not a good football team without Davis Alexander. They're undefeated with him. I think that matters.
Yeah,
when it comes to, you know, how you deal with adversity.
How much of the, I hate to say it, but it happens. How much of it is popularity?
It depends on
the
award.
Percentage?
Like, I think Matthew Betts is going to win the Defensive Player of the Year because of his name recognition. He's up against Julian Hauser of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, and
yeah.
I'm sorry, Matthew Betts has a way bigger profile than Julian Hauser does when it comes to the CFL awards. But we continue here on the Green Zone. We're going to open up the fan line, 1-877-332-8255. How are you feeling leading into the 112th Grey Cup as the Riders gear up? Keyshawn Johnson out there today. Locker was on the loose as we bring on Darren from Roche Percy today. Darren, Locker couldn't find, well, he found a few Winnipeggers wanting to go with the Rough Riders, but you hang out with the Bomber faithful a lot more than we do. What's your vibe check on Bomber Nation, being as how you're one of the lone Rider fans in that group?
Well, first of all, I just want to say I'm very, very sad because on Monday I texted Belton. He says he's not coming out. Then you guys tell me on the show he's not coming out. How can we have a party without Belton? That just broke my heart.
That's a good point.
And then I texted all my guys because I wanted to do 3 hours before the game. We have like 50 guys. We tailgate in the parking lot there and like a true American tailgating. And I was going to bring a chili. Out of all of those 50 guys, not one of them are going to watch the game. They're not. And they said, I can't go watch the game and watch Saskatchewan win in our stadium. And then they're all crying about that. So most of the people in Toronto, or I mean in Winnipeg, they're saying, well, when the game was in Saskatchewan, everybody in Saskatchewan cheered for Toronto. And I said, I was at that game. I asked my wife, did you hear anybody cheering for Toronto? And she goes, nope. So there's a hatred that they, no matter what, they cannot cheer for the Riders. My wife is happy the Riders are in it because if it's not her team, she says, I'm happy your team's there and we're going to cheer. And then the Grey Cup organization right now gets a big F for those three-day passes, how nobody can get any passes now, and all these people are coming in to party and they can't get nothing.
Yeah, okay,
really
can you...
screwed the pooch.
Yeah, what is going on? Like, the first Grey Cup I've ever been to where...
Are they already gone? Is like, that the problem? Like, is it a capacity issue?
Oh, sorry. I think Darren, go ahead. Sorry, yeah. I just
we were told
wondered.
As season ticket holders, we were supposed to get a notice to buy those tickets in advance. Only some of us got them. Some of us didn't get them. And then, so then they were sold out after the first batch came out. And then, because what they've done is they've linked the team parties with the capacity of the concert all together as one.
What?
So, yeah, that's weird. That's how they're figuring out the capacity for the convention center. So then there was a whole bunch of us that went and complained because, hey, we're season ticket holders. We didn't get the email. And there's all young people that are running all the electronics and everything like that this year. And so things are out of whack. So then they put out a whole more bunch, and you couldn't buy a one-day pass. But the one-day passes were going to be $70, they said, if they did put them out. So then that next batch was gone, like, within an hour. Gone. And now you got people that are coming in from all across Canada, can't get a pass. They're pissed off. They don't want to go to... They don't even want to come. Some people say, if I can't get a pass, why am I going to come? Where am I supposed to party?
Well, if you're now, from Saskatchewan, you're trying to get into Ryderville, and you can't go to Ryderville.
You can't buy a one-day ticket.
I'll tell you what, Darren, when is it? Is that Thursday night it opens?
Yeah.
I think, Ryderville?
Yeah.
If you're there, if someone's there at Ryderville, I got CFL awards to cover that night, send me a picture. If that place is empty or there's not a lot of people in there, you're right. They screwed that up big time.
Well,
if that's going on.
Darren, I'm glad that we've figured out, though, that it's young people's problem and their fault.
It is, so. Because the guy that ran it last time was about, like, 45, 48 years old. He was an established business person. This time, when I went to my volunteer meeting and everything like this, I got to be very quiet because I don't put – I'm one of the guys that will be driving you guys around, by the way. Okay, so I have to sign.
Oh, really? You're one of the drivers? Can you pick me up at the media party tonight around 2, 3 a.m.?
I'm not even in town. I'm still coming home. I start tomorrow. But I do the officials and the media. That's who I do it. So that's why I have to do an NDA, so I can't tell nobody nothing. But they screwed up. You know, and it's too bad. But I wonder
if there's something that they can do to fix it. Because we've had – you're not the first one, Darren, that's brought this up to us. And Jamie has – did he say he signed an NDA?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the problem is we've learned in Saskatchewan what works and what doesn't work when we run anything. And we're not afraid to say – we've learned from other people. We've taken what's good from other people.
Yeah.
We've tried it. If it works for us, we keep it. The Bombers won't do that. Wade Miller will not do that. Like, when we do our 50-50s in Regina, I just have to give my name, and I'm already in there. And if I win, I get an email. They still are using paper, and they have to go through that whole process. And they will not do something that the riders do. If we sold dog poop with strawberries and we said it was delicious, Wade Miller wouldn't copy that because the riders did it first.
That's probably a good thing they're not
And that's why Darren's a Ryder fan. Darren, I can't wait to see you this weekend, bud.
I'm going to come after my shift. I'm going to come down there and bug you guys.
Well, okay, absolutely.
Yeah. I need to see this NDA.
It's not bugging us, that's for sure.
I want my lawyer to check that NDA.
1-877-332-8255. But I've been hearing this about these party passes.
Yeah.
I'm like, if Ryderville is not packed, they screwed up.
Wow, wouldn't you want to take care of if there's a problem in
the
RBC parties,
Convention Center? You can't link that in with where the attendance with what the stadium or not the stadium, the arena can hold. Like, the RBC Convention Center is massive.
Yeah.
So, well,
I have a feeling, and again, I have a feeling that they've had enough complaints that they're probably going to have to do something to take care of it. I'm quite comfortable. It's my room.
By the way, I
have a massage booked at 5 as well.
1-877-332-8255. Bob in Saskatoon. We're talking about 112th Grey Cup. Who do you think has the edge at quarterback?
Well, right now, I think it's pretty well equal as far as that goes, because Alexander is hurt as far as this goes, you know. And as you stated there, Annette, if he's going to play, and all that, says he's unbeatable, you know?
I don't know about unbeatable, but he's got Davis Alexander. Thanks, Bob, for the call.
Thanks, Bob.
As I was just on Ticketmaster, I was just seeing how many resale tickets. There's nothing. If there's resale tickets up, I witnessed this live. As Darren was talking, a pair of tickets popped up, and they were, I was like, 5 minutes later, gone. So people are clearly trying to get Grey Cup tickets. Have those because you can get the notification.
Yeah.
Seats have come available.
Boom. It was gone. Fairly apparent through the course of the year that the Riders had a really strong chance of being in the Grey Cup this year.
I hope it's a good Rider crowd in there.
Yeah.
Like it was in Calgary in 2009 and
you
got to
take care of the Rider crowd. This doesn't make any sense.
Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. We'll get to our game of the night. More of your calls as well. 1-877-332-8255 is Bob Wright. Is Davis Alexander, is he the X factor for this football game? Do the Montreal Alouettes have the advantage at quarterback? Let us know now on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. To Winnipeg, and you want some guy. We were talking about jerseys last week with the retro and the obsidian,
yeah.
And what jersey you're wearing. Some people said, "Oh, what is the team wearing? I want to wear that one." They're wearing the retros. This Grey Cup, they're wearing their white jerseys, their regular road white jerseys.
Okay,
green helmets, green pants. That's their setup for the 112th Grey Cup.
The Riders are the away team on Sunday as well. And there's been lots of consternation about that and how they figure that out, but it rotates.
Well, let's go through that again.
That's get a lot of texts.
I know.
Every day we're fielding. Why are they the visitors?
Yeah, yeah,
like, well,
I understand.
Anyways,
Rob doesn't care who the visitor is. Rob in Regina, what's your prediction for the 112th Grey Cup?
Oh, it's going to be the Riders. And with a score of about 35 to about 15, maybe.
What? Wow. Why do you think it's going to be a blowout?
Just because I've seen the Riders at Montreal and Calgary back in 09 and then Edmonton and 10 and something called Vengeance, right? So, I don't know. I think with all the deep arsenal that the Riders have, that they're going to come out both guns blazing and can absolutely dominate the game.
Rob starting off the week with a huge prediction, a 20-point win for the Saskatchewan Roughriders over the Montreal Alouettes. I think this is going to be low scoring. I said it earlier.
I
think it might be first to 20 type game. They're the best two defenses in the Canadian Football League. It's not even close. They're the best two defenses in the Canadian Football League, bar none.
I think we're going to get a blowout. I'm leaning that way. I've been going back and forth, and I don't know.
I'm picking the Riders, but it's
2018. With Davis Alexander hurt, I think we've got the makings of a backup quarterback getting run out of the building.
Like, how much do you think the Riders are going to win by?
A couple scores, at least.
Like 6, 7?
Stop it. You know, you're part of the problem. You are part of the problem.
I'm taking so much joy. I've done that like four times today, and every time Locker's like,
no, stop it. Stop. If it meant something, I would be okay with it, but it doesn't mean anything.
That's why it's innocent. There's no harm in it. It means nothing.
No, it's annoying.
Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this. I couldn't help it. I got 2 points. I think the Riders win by 2 points. I think this
are
is going to be a nail biter. I think people on Sunday are going to be rocking back and forth in
can
whatever chair they're sitting in.
Can I ask you
some people might be dry heaving in the corner at the end of the game. There's going to be nervous anxiety in even in Montreal for Allo. It's going to be close.
You know what I was so last night we went to a. We went to a local establishment. There was a podcast. It was Bombing's podcast.
Yeah.
Right? And he was doing his show live from Silver Heights. So all the media that are in town early, they all piled into this place. And we all sat around like three or four tables, and everybody had a bite to eat, a couple of drinks. And were you shocked at the number of conversations about the rule changes?
No.
And then, I thought we had moved on.
No.
But we have not moved on.
We have not moved on from the rules.
And then all the scenarios about how the game is going to win to prove.
That should be one of your lockers on the loose, is go through the team parties on Friday night
and see
where people, then people will go.
I'm going to have to.
All day.
After last night, I think I have to. I honestly thought.
Friday's,
moved on.
Friday's State of the League address with the commissioner, it's going to be something. That is for sure.
Well, and
it'll be interesting.
Oh, yeah. It'll be interesting. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. Davis Alexander practiced, went inside for treatment, then finished practice. Keyshawn Johnson of the Rough Riders was starting practice, did not finish practice, as he is trying to ramp up to be ready for the 112th Grey Cup. Ajoa Joe took the other reps in that one. One Canadian team on the ice, only four games in the National Hockey League. That is the Edmonton Oilers in Philadelphia. And tough news for the University of Saskatchewan Huskies. Anton Amenrud, their quarterback who left the team after week six, told the team that he is battling lymphoma, as the Huskies will try to rally around their quarterback for Saturday's Mitchell Bowl. Double Take with Daryl Davis coming up next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.